Today we have this beginning in our first reading, the theophany, God manifesting himself to Elijah in the cave. It's a good insight, I think, in the ways that God speaks to us. So often we are looking for some meaning or some loud, boisterous way that we should be communicated to. And God is present in the quiet, in the silence. He wasn't in the wind, or the earthquake, or the fire. The Lord was in none of these. Rather, after the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Elijah hid his face. 100 years ago, God spoke to us. He didn't come to the President of the United States. He didn't speak to some king or queen. He didn't speak to some well-known religious figure. Rather, he spoke to three small children in a little tiny village in Portugal. This year is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions that occurred in Fatima, Portugal. There were three children, Lucy, Francisco, and Jacinta, who received these apparitions. Beginning in the spring of 1916, they were visited three times by an angel while tending the sheep outside their village. The angel taught them a number of prayers, including the Fatima prayer that we pray it during the rosary. He told them to offer prayers and supplications, saying to them, "Pray. Pray a great deal. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy for you. Offer unceasingly to the Most High prayers and sacrifices. Offer up everything within your power as a sacrifice to the Lord in an act of reparation for sins by which he is offended and of supplication for the conversion of sinners." Beginning in May, then Our Lady appeared to the children in a field. She told them to meet her for the next 6 months. On the 13th of each month at that hour, she told them many things and shared with them many future events that would happen. And one time she even showed them a vision of hell, saying to them, "You have seen hell, where the souls of sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If people do as I ask, many souls will be converted and there will be peace." In August, the children were detained by one of the local officials. By now, word had spread of the apparitions and people were beginning to gather. And some were excited, others were skeptical, and they wanted to debunk the apparitions. So Our Lady appeared to the children after they were released on August 19th in a different location, telling them, "Pray, pray very much, and make sacrifices for sinners. For many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray for them." Our Lady promised to show a sign, to give a sign to ensure people knew these apparitions were real. During the last apparition in October, a sign was given. By now, many people were coming to the small village to see the visionaries and hoping to see the promised sign. That day, there were 70 to 100,000 people gathered in the field, many believers and many skeptics among them and non-believers. The sun seemed to break loose from the heavens and came down closer and closer to the earth. And villagers, it was said, the villages 10 miles away could see this phenomenon called the dancing sun. This miracle was a confirmation of Mary's message that the visions were true. These are indeed impressive events, but what does it mean for us? What is our takeaway 100 years after the fact? What's in it for us, we might ask? Well, in general, the message of Fatima is pretty simple. It's not that complicated. It requests our prayers, our reparation, repentance, and sacrifice, and the abandonment of sin. Before Our Lady appeared to the three shepherd children, the angel of peace visited them, and the angel prepared the children to receive those messages from Mary. And his instructions are an important aspect of the message that is often overlooked. So how often do we consider this invitation to offer prayer and reparation for our sins and for the sins of mankind? Jesus is the only one who can forgive us. That's certainly true. We cannot save ourselves. It's not about us becoming our own saviors. But he does invite us to offer reparation and sacrifice and atonement for the acts of sin against him, and out of acts of love for him, we can do this. It's not that we can pay our own debt. Christ is the only one that can do that. But when we do something out of love for God and for our neighbor, this is a pleasing gift that we can offer. And that is what St. Paul, I think, is talking about when he says, I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. St. Paul expresses his willingness to suffer, to endure challenges or difficulties for love of Christ and for love and conversion of his fellow Israelites. So we might ask, what is reparation? That word we might hear often, but what does it mean? For us as Catholics, it means offering a prayer or a devotion or act done with the intent of expiating or atoning for sin. How can we do that? What are ways that we can do reparation? There are many ways. Here are a few. We can pray. Prayer is probably the most important. More attentively, more in general, can we practice devotions or like things like Stations of the Cross or the Rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet? These are acts of reparation. We can share, right? We can share our time with others through service, or we can give our attention to those in need. We can share our financial resources with others. We can share the faith with others. These are forms of reparation. We can forgive, not holding on to the desire to get even when we've been wronged. We can ignore the unkindness or the thoughtlessness that others might do to us. These are acts of reparation. We can work. Work is a thing that we're called to do, and we can work more diligently, or maybe taking on tasks that are seemingly below us or things that we don't enjoy. If we do them out of love, they can be acts of reparation. We can endure. By accepting the misunderstandings of others with greater peace of mind, suffering without grumbling or feeling sorry for ourselves, or making sure that everybody else knows that we're suffering, we can put these things aside. And whether we're struggling with a disability or a disadvantage, or without some past hurt or bitter something, we can take these things upon ourselves without becoming irascible. We can deprive ourselves some luxury, whether it's in the home or at the table, or some comfort that we like to have, we can offer these things as reparation. We can sacrifice, surrendering something to God to show that we love Him. This can be an act of reparation. Now, we don't have to do everything, and we probably really shouldn't, right? If we push our bodies too much or go too far into this, we probably just become sad little people. We don't want to do that. But there's a place for reparation. Do we do anything? That's the question. Do we deny ourselves anything for love of God? Do we ever consider ways of showing God that we love Him? If a husband or wife often said that they loved their spouse but never showed any affection or never put the other's desire before themselves, wouldn't their words have less meaning? If we back our words with deeds, it shows our love. Reparation is a way to show the Lord that we love Him, that we care for Him. Reparation is a way to enter in. And it can seem a little extreme. Admittedly, it's not for the faint of heart, but it's something that we should all engage in from time to time with some regularity in our lives. The challenge is to do reparation for the right intention. It shouldn't be done with an idea to want to be noticed or to put ourselves first or pat ourselves on the back. If we're doing that, then why bother? True reparation is focused on expressing our love for God and recognizing how often we ourselves, or humanity in general, fail to love the Lord. How often we make no effort to show gratitude for the things that we have been blessed with, the gifts that God has given to us. Are we aware of those times when we can give thanks? I think we're very often quick to ask for help. Lord, help me, I need help. But then when we get help or when things work out, do we give thanks? Do we offer something back to the Lord? Perhaps for you, reparation is like walking on water. It seems impossible or seems difficult, and it seems like I sink every time I try it. But though Peter sank, I've always thought that the Lord must have appreciated the fact that he got out of the boat at all. Take a chance and ask the Lord how He wants you to love Him. Let us offer him acts of love and time. Maybe we can come to a deeper understanding of this gift of reparation that the Lord offers to us. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.